Research in contemporary exposure treatment, a staple of cognitive behavioral therapy, has similarly disappointing results. The majority of patients treated with that method continue to have serious PTSD symptoms 3 months after the end of treatment. As we will see, finding words to describe what has happened to you can be transformative, but it does not always abolish flashbacks or improve concentration, stimulate vital involvement in your life, or reduce hypersensitivity to disappointments and perceived injuries. Listening to survivors. Nobody wants to remember trauma. In that regard, society is no different from the victims themselves. We all want to live in a world that is safe, manageable, and predictable. And victims remind us that this is not always the case. In order to understand trauma, we have to overcome our natural reluctance to confront that reality and cultivate the courage to listen to the testimonies of survivors. In his book, Holocaust Testimonies, The Ruins of Memory, 1991, Lawrence Langer writes about his work in the Fortinoff Video Archive at Yale University. Listening to accounts of Holocaust experience, we unearth a mosaic of evidence that constantly vanishes into bottomless layers of incompletion. We wrestle with the beginnings of a permanently unfinished tale, full of incomplete intervals, faced by the spectacle of a faltering witness, often reduced to a distressed silence by the overwhelming solicitations of deep memory. As one of his witnesses says, "If you were not there, it's difficult to describe and say how it was. How men function under such stress is one thing, and then how you communicate and express that to somebody who never knew that such a degree of brutality exists seems like a fantasy." Another survivor, Charlotte Delbeau, describes her dual existence after Auschwitz. She said, "The self who was in the camp isn't me, isn't the person who is here opposite you. No, it's too unbelievable. And everything that happened to this other self, the one from Auschwitz, doesn't touch me now. Me. Doesn't concern me. So distinct are deep memories and common memory. Without this split, I wouldn't have been able to come back to life." She comments that even words have a dual meaning. Otherwise, someone in the camps who has been tormented by thirst for weeks would never again be able to say, "I'm thirsty, let's make a cup of tea." Thirst after the war has once more become a currently used term. On the other hand, if I dream of the thirst I felt in Birkenau, the extermination facilities in Auschwitz, I see myself as I was then, haggard, bereft of reason, tottering. Langer hauntingly concludes, "Who can find a proper grave for such damaged mosaics of the mind, where they may rest in pieces? Life goes on, but in two temporal directions at once, the future unable to escape the grip of a memory laden with grief."